Well, big hello from all the brethren in Red Deer. They send their greetings, and certainly they have a very nice little setting to have services out there in a trailer park, very quiet, park-like setting, and we had a very nice service this morning, but they do send their greetings to you all. It's nice to see you. It's a very beautiful hall that we have here, and it's a very beautiful hotel. Behold, I will tell you a mystery. We shall not always sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. Those words are from the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. We can focus on these words today, because today is a day of hope. I'd like to talk to you about this day of hope. The Feast of Trumpets is such a special day. So many people of God have lived and died with the hope that is pictured by this day in them. They've died with this hope in them. For many years, when the Feast of Trumpets rolled around, and I found myself once again this morning waking up and sort of dozing for a few minutes, and having sort of a few dreamy thoughts, my thoughts seem to come back to this day. And it seems as though it's happened from year to year. But I wonder what it would be like to die and have the hope of this day inside of me. I knew a wonderful godly lady once who lived a very Christian life, and she had this hope inside of her. She was struck with a disease that gave her pain, nausea, loss of her hair. Perhaps you knew someone that way, or many, many other people that way, several people that way. But she was a woman of God, and she had a disease that caused problems to the extent of pain so much that it was just a struggle to breathe. Finally, at the end, that pain had to be clouded with medication just in order to move. I imagine my mom knew through the haze of what was happening that she was going to die. And I imagine in that consciousness, she had the hope of this day inside of her. That's what I was thinking about this morning. She sat up and asked my dad to give her a last hug. So I knew, as my dad said that she knew that this was the time that she had to hold on to the hope of this day. I know her thoughts were on this day, and her tombstone actually has the words "resting in hope" on it. I think that's very fitting. In Psalms 16, verse 9, it says, "Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope." The saints of God know that this day means something, and the saints of God own a hope that this day portrays. All that have died did so looking with hope to the fulfillment of trumpets. They knew that the whole world, not just they, needed this day. They only experienced that life for a period of time, but they died with something, and it was with this hope. And they knew the whole world needed the same hope. So it's been 3 years since the terrorists flew airplanes into the Twin Towers. We call it 9/11. Is the world a better place? Is God's government on earth yet? I hear wars. I hear stories about wars. I hear fears of wars. And the world certainly has not gotten to be a safer place or a better place. I left this morning to go to Red Deer. And on the news, there was a story about a young man who was assaulted stabbed apparently within an inch of his life and is in critical condition at the Royal Alec Hospital. And he was attacked by three or four young men. The radio said that the police were on the lookout for a black SUV with BC license plates. After I left from Red Deer, there was about a mile stoppage of traffic coming south, and there was a black SUV in the middle of the road. The police had it surrounded with their guns pointed at it, and there were a couple of young people that looked like rap stars sitting on their rear ends on the pavement. It wasn't a very, very cool sight for them. But I wonder if that weren't the ones. But so I had the front seat view because I drove right past on that side, and there they were with their rifles pointed, and it was quite a sight. But obviously, it's God's world not yet. It's Satan's government that's still on the earth, and we have to pray ever more fervently, "Thy kingdom come," and please fulfill this day of hope, this day of trumpets. Because when that day is fulfilled, certainly we won't see scenes like that. And when the fulfillment of trumpets happens, you know, God's will, as the Lord's Prayer says, you know, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." His will be done on earth, finally. So we find ourselves in the year 2004. And you know, today, in 2004, we have exactly the same hope that my mom had in 1983 when she died. It's the same hope. It's the same hope that the apostles had 1900 or more years ago. The same hope. It's actually the same hope that Moses died with. The same hope that Abraham knew about. It's a consistent hope. It is grounded in mercy. And it is grounded in mercy because mercy is perfection expressed by God. Who can criticize mercy? Because that's where our hope lies. Mercy is perfect. You can't criticize mercy. There's nothing wrong about it. So let's talk about hope today. And of all holy days, this one carries such a focus of hope for us. And, of course, for the whole world. If you look in the dictionary and you turn to the word hope, it's kind of interesting. And, you know, I hadn't seen this before, but hope has two aspects. Because you can feel hope, but also you can have hope. There's a difference. And the dictionary explains the difference. To feel hope is to want or wish for something with a feeling of confident expectation. So you see, you feel hope or hopeful. But to have hope is different. When you have hope, it's to continue hoping for something even when it may be in vain. That's what the dictionary says. Now, if that's the case, having hope is different than just feeling it. It's an interesting concept. I'd propose to you that the God's men of old, and certainly my mother, didn't just feel it. They had it. They had it right inside. They owned it because it was given to them. And there's a difference between feeling it and having it, feeling it or owning it. This day is a day of hope. And we have this day to worship on. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a metaphor. It's something that is real, tangible. If you turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 1, this is the faith chapter. And what does it say about faith and hope? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is something." Now, how do you describe faith? Well, the Bible describes faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It's interesting that when we talk about hope, you cannot separate this hope from the faith of saints. Today is a day of hope, and all saints have hope for the revelation of their Savior when He returns on this day in the future. So this is a day of hope, and it's also a day of faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's also, faith is evidence of things we can't yet see. You show faith by coming to services today congregating as God asked us to. He also commanded us to, but you know, you have a choice. And James says, I believe it is James, says, I will show you my faith by my works. So faith and hope are indelibly connected. And Abraham was known as the father of the faithful, right? So he had hope. And it's interesting how the Bible connects this hope right straight through from cover to cover, because that hope came from the same source. It came from the source of all perfection. Romans 4 and verse 17. I'll try and go through these fairly quickly. If you don't want to flip, I'll read, not to worry. Romans 4 and verse 17 says, and it is written, and this is quoting from the Old Testament, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, now this is talking about Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. And it quotes the Old Testament again, so shall your descendants be. And it describes the fact that Abraham was 100 or so years old. I don't know about you, but that's kind of late to be starting to think about becoming a father, especially, you know, when you haven't yet become one and your wife is 90 years old, you know. But, you know, he's father of the faithful. Abraham had hope, and that's the point. He must have had a lot of hope. He must have been, you know, on his knees. But God promised him something. And you see, he was a very stubborn man, because hope gives you conviction. He was absolutely positive that what God promised, he would fulfill. Do we have that same hope in this day? This is a day of hope. God promised to Abraham that he would be a father, and a father of many nations. He knew he had to have descendants, and yet he was 100 years old, his wife was 90, and the scripture just, it's almost comical. But Abraham was stubbornly hopeful. He was amazing. But what is faith? As Hebrews says, faith is the, we just read it, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's a substance. It's faith is something that has weight. And it's the evidence of things not seen. Abraham had that when it came to what God promised. The Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary says in this passage, verse 18, where it says, Abraham, who hoped against hope, you know, he believed in hope. Well, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says that he hoped when no ground for hope appeared. So you see, it wasn't something that he could prove yet, but his belief, his faith, was grounded in a hope substance, you see, as Hebrews 11:1 says, the substance of things hoped for. That was his faith. So, what is trumpets? You know, if he hoped when no ground for hope appeared, what is trumpets? Our ground for hope appears at trumpets. The appearance of our Savior, the return of our Savior, is the appearance of our hope. We have hope, but that's the proof of it. It's the reason of it, and that it's the appearance of our reason for hope, which is the return of Jesus Christ. So there are a lot of Old Testament passages that pertain to hope. You know, it's not just a New Testament concept. Hope was there from the beginning, just like mercy. And because it was from God, you know, we can say that. We can certainly read the scriptures and see that David understood mercy, hope. Psalm 33:18. I'll just quickly read through these. You don't have to turn to them. But it says, "The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." Well, there's a reason to hope. hope in his mercy. So David understood there's hope, and he understood there was mercy. It's not just a New Testament concept. Mercy was understood by David. Psalm 33 and 22, verse 22 says, "Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." So again, mercy and hope, you see, they're connected. And the Old Testament has it all over the place. Psalm 38, verse 15 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I hope." And the same in Psalm 39, 7. Psalm 71, 5, "You are my hope, O God, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth." Psalm 71, 14, "I will hope continually and will yet praise you more and more." Psalm 78, 7 says, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And Solomon in Lamentations 3:26, he wrote, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Our hope is for salvation of the Lord or in the Lord. It is because of the sacrifice that we can hope for this, however. And in the New Testament, the actuality of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and especially the witnessed resurrection, gave a reality sense to hope in Scripture. And we can see that in several places. In Romans 5, we can see that in Romans 5, starting in verse 1. It's like when Jesus Christ was crucified and then resurrected, it magnified this concept of hope in the Scriptures. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So we can be happy and rejoice in something that God is going to do to us. God is going to glorify us on this day in the future. That's what the Scriptures say. And what did God do at the resurrection of Jesus Christ? He glorified Christ by resurrecting him. And so verse 2, our hope in the glory of God, the coming glory, glorification that he will give to us, it's very important that we understand being mortal, we require something to live on. We require a change. And a change is not just metaphoric. It's an actual change from physical to spiritual. And that's what is wrapped up with in this day of hope. If we read on in verse 3, it says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." So living our daily lives and the troubles that we face and the difficulties in our lives, tribulations, if we persevere, remember, there's a commandment to persevere. Revelation 3, I believe it is, there's a commandment given to the churches to persevere. But if we persevere, what does perseverance produce? It says here, tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, in verse 4, produces character, and character gives hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. So our hope is supposed to be here, you see. It's not supposed to just be a feeling, a wishy-washy. No, we own it. We have it. It's the second definition from the dictionary. Hope is something more than just a feeling. It's something we have. It's something we are given, and therefore we own. Verse 4, then, a man, we can conclude from verse 4 that if character produces hope, then a man with godly character has this hope. It's not a matter of, just a feeling. It's a matter of confidence. And confidence in this day, being that this is, in actuality, you see, a day of hope. Hope for us, hope for the whole world. And the hope is in the resurrection through the blood, the mercy, and, of course, the gift of Almighty God. Acts 24, verse 14. Acts 24, verse 14. And in here, if you want to turn there, Paul acknowledges that this hope of a resurrection was a universal concept in the Bible, from stem to stern, cover to cover. Old and New Testament contains the hope of a resurrection concept, starting in verse 14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the Lord, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written, where? In the Law and the Prophets. It's not called the Old Testament here. It's called the Book of the Law and the Prophets. He worshiped God using this and believing all things written in the Law and the Prophets. And in verse 15, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection. You see, that hope is connected to a hope in a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So Paul connects the fact that, you know, even the Jews understood that, you know, this is God's way, and that there was a hope written in the Law and the Prophets in the Old Testament. It's not just a New Testament concept. Hope has been there from the very beginning, just as God has been there from the very beginning. So we can see that hope focuses, though, on a resurrection, you see, and they're indelibly connected. So trumpets being fulfilled. This day in history shall be a day fulfilling our hope. It'll be the substance of things not yet seen. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. Hope is not just a feeling. And this shows us that our hope is wrapped up in something that is real. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. A living hope, not just a feeling. It's a living hope. And what is it? It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 500 people witnessed that this being had been resurrected from the dead. First of all, they witnessed that he was really, really dead. And then they witnessed that he was really, really alive. So it's an amazing thing that, you know, these witnesses corroborating each other was a magnification of this concept of a real, actual hope that we could have for this day in prophetic history. And God's plan for hope, trumpet seems to be so central to that. And it really is. You know, and if you count the days, you know, the holy days, it's the central holy day. But our hope, our focus on this day in becoming actual in our lives, either changing in the twinkling of an eye to a spirit being, or actually being raised from the dead as a resurrection, comes from the very fact that it was witnessed to have happened through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's a living hope. You see, and as we read on, you can see this is the reason. It's because Jesus Christ paved the way. He is our elder brother, and he's going the path, showing us what will happen to us. So it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that we have this living hope. In verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. You see, it's faith in this concept of a hope of salvation, ready to be revealed when? At trumpets, at the last time. And in verse 7, you know, that your genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, through though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ is then the completion, the actual happening, fulfillment of the day of trumpets. So this is a day of hope, and it's a day of the hope of our salvation and the salvation of the world. But we can see, though, that in the sense that you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, that when in fact Jesus Christ is revealed, that will be our hope revealed as well. In the end, verse 9 talks about receiving the end of your faith. And what is the end of your faith? The salvation of your souls. So our faith is focused on this day, the day of receiving salvation in that sense, the day of hope, trumpets. And in verse 11, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, or of God, was in the prophets. Did you understand that? In the prophets of the Old Testament? It says in verse 11, searching what or what manner of times the Spirit of Christ, which was in them. That was talking about the ones who prophesied about grace and the glory to come. Was in them, indicating when the Spirit testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So it's an interesting concept that we find here, is that from stem to stern, the Bible is full of hope. And it's full of focus on this day, certainly brought much more to the foreground at the actuality of the resurrection of Christ. Romans 15, verse 4, talks about where we can ground our faith, God's written word. Romans 15, verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So we can use the Scriptures for our hope. Now, the Scriptures also teach us patience. So in the case of our physical life, if we do get ill, if we do have to suffer some terrible disease, if we do come to our end, learning patience, what do we have? What never changes? It's that hope. It's that hope that we take with us to the grave. So that patience, it is taught, but the comfort from the Scriptures is hope, something that is given to us. It's not just a feeling. It's something that we actually have. We can hold it. We have it right there. And it's something that... perhaps, you know, on this day of hope, we can see in a bit of a different angle, at a different angle. In verse 13, we can see that our God has perfection where He started and where He is and where He will end. And who is our God? It says in verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So our God is a God of hope. He's also a God of mercy and love. So God, how can you, again, these are the perfect aspects that you can't criticize. No one can criticize mercy. No one can criticize hope. And if you have it, hold on to it. It's something that's very, very much worth something. And no one can criticize love, as a matter of fact. Those are perfections that are given from God. But hope, and this day of hope, was given to us and the whole world by the perfect Creator, the source of perfection, the source of hope. That's our God. Don't turn to it, but in Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred, this is a proverb, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, when you're really hoping for something and then it doesn't work out, you know, it makes the heart sick. But when the desired comes, it is a tree of life. Wow, you know, where was the tree of life? The tree of life was from the very beginning. It was in the Garden of Eden. God made a tree of life from the very beginning. And when hope comes, it is like a tree of life. It's quite, you know, quite interesting that it's put that way, because, you know, our hope, that's Jesus Christ, really. When He comes, it will be like a tree of life. Colossians 1, verse 3. Colossians 1 and verse 3. You know, this hope is part of the gospel. And in Paul's time, people, and the Gentiles in this case, heard this gospel of hope preached by Paul. And we ought to be about preaching this gospel of hope to the world, too. Because it's hope for the world. It's not just hope for God's people. It's not just hope for us in this room. It's hope for the world. In Colossians 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and of your love for all the saints, because of what? Because of the hope which is laid up in heaven, for which you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. So hope is part of the gospel. It's a positive message to the world that Paul was giving out, and it's part of our commission. Verse 23 of the same chapter again talks about hope of the gospel. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So Paul's gospel was a gospel of hope, and so should our gospel be. And it's hope for the whole world, because the gospel is to be preached to the whole world. If we can see the gospel is a gospel of hope, then this hope pertains to the whole world. And in verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is the mystery? The mystery is Christ in you. What is that? The hope of glory. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Do you own that hope? Or do you just feel it? Do you have it? There's a difference. So God's Holy Spirit in us is Jesus Christ in us, is hope of a resurrection. It's all connected. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1, we can see in Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, again, Paul writing here, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing one another in love. This is to us. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. We're called in hope, and there is one hope. There isn't 15 hopes. Different hopes. I can't agree with a person who will say, well, for me, my hope is this. You know, I believe, you know, that I'll be raptured away. Or I believe that I will go to heaven if I'm a good boy and go to hell if I'm not. Or, you know, that man is, I can't accept that because there is only one hope. And what is that hope? It is hope in the resurrection. The resurrection talked about in the Bible, the resurrection that's spoken about to be fulfilled on this day, the Day of Trumpets, because it is our day of hope. So when it talks about having one hope and one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, that's very important. I can't agree with people who say, well, as long as I'm do this or that, the other thing, and it's in my heart to, you know, do this for the glorification of God, he'll accept that. Or, you know, I believe that I have hope in the rapture. Well, you know, I have to have a problem with that according to Scripture, because there is only one hope, and that hope is in the resurrection, the salvation that is offered, and the fulfillment of this day of hope, the Day of Trumpets. And who is our hope? 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. And where does he live? Where does he live his life? In us, right? So our hope is more than just a feeling. It has to be in us. We have to have it and own it, and we have to take it with us. If it means to our grave, we can. We can take it with us to our grave. Feelings end when we die. If we own our hope, we still have it with us, really. Okay? So it's something that's more than just a feeling as we went through. But this hope is through the promise made by God, which was in place from the very foundation of the earth. Let's see this in Titus 1 and verse Titus 1:1, actually. Hope is centered on God's promise. Remember God's promise to Abraham? that was quite incredible. You'll be a father when you're 100 years old, and Sarah, you know, will be a first-time mom at 90. That was his promise, and God gives us a promise as well. Titus 1 and verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. This hope of eternal life is a promise. Do we, like Abraham, have faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Trumpets is a day of hope, and it's also a day of faith, then. It's something that we can look forward to, and we understand that this hope, this promise from God was from the foundation of the earth. And we don't turn to it, but remember Revelation 13:8 says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's why the hope is there. And it's from the foundation of the world. So, again, where was the tree of life? At the beginning. And as the commentary says, you know, this will appear at once again, because eternal life, you know, is only offered through the blood of Jesus Christ as a gift, nothing we can earn. Titus 2 in verse 13. This is our hope, and it's hope in a specific time, in this case, in this scripture. Titus 2 and verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, if we look for the appearing, guess which day that is? That's the day of hope. That's where our hope lies. That's today. That's trumpets. It's all through Scripture. This is a very central holy day. It's amazing that we look upon it. And there's seven holy days. It's the middle. It can be a wonderful focus for us. Certainly, it's a great gift. And hope is that gift, you see, because that's what it centers on. So, and if we flip over to Titus 3, over the page, we can see in verse 7, actually starting in verse 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that, having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to what? According to the hope of eternal life. That's our hope. And that's the hope of this day. Eternal life for the whole world, offered to the whole world eventually. This is a great day of hope. It's central to God's plan for all of mankind. Hope can be something that keeps us solid. If you turn with me to Hebrews 6, and this is a wonderful passage of chapter, chapter of the Bible, and a passage that is quite deep. I hadn't read it this way before. Hebrews 6, starting in verse 18. Starting verse 17, actually, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God gave an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for the refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Deep words. Hope is an anchor. If you're lying on your deathbed and you are struggling to breathe, your consciousness is clouded by medication or lack of oxygen, What is your hope? Is it just a feeling, or do you want to really own it? Hope can be an anchor in a situation like that. Hope can be an anchor if, just like a ship on the ocean, you know, in a stormy ocean out in the Gulf of Mexico when Hurricane Ivan comes by. But hope is an anchor. Where does that anchor go? This is a deep scripture. Hope is an anchor. It holds a ship steady in the stormy seas. If you are breathing your last and you consciously are aware and you're, you know, one of God's chosen, I believe you'll be thinking about this day. Very likely. It'll be an anchor for you because this is a day of hope. And that's why Hebrews 6 talks about hope as an anchor. And, you know, an anchor enters not just under the water, where you see it goes somewhere we don't see it, right? An anchor of a ship goes under the water. It goes to where we can't see it, but it's anchored on a rock. It's anchored on something that does not move, on the seabed. And as the end of the scripture says, where does our anchor of hope, remember, hope is the anchor. Where does it go? It goes behind the veil. Deep, deep words. It goes behind the veil because our anchor is Jesus Christ. He's our hope. And it is behind the veil in the Holy of Holies right now with God the Father. So hope is an anchor. Presently, anchoring our lives, anchoring your life, hope, if you own it, if you have it, not just if you feel it, is an anchor in your life, in your spiritual life. And at the end of your days, as my mom was, she had that anchor. She had that hope in the resurrection, in the hope of this day, because this is a day of hope. So that's one, you know, deep metaphor. 1 Thessalonians 5 also talks about another thing that hope is. 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation." Hope is a helmet. Why do you wear a helmet? In this context, you wear a helmet because you're in a war. Warriors wore helmets, and we're in a war with Satan. And what does a helmet do? A helmet protects us in a very vital area. It protects our head. Hope is a helmet. The hope of salvation is a helmet for us. And this hope of salvation we can wear in our war against Satan. This is our helmet. It's the hope in this day, this hopeful day, the Day of Trumpets. And I don't know about you, but when I watch the boxers in the Olympics boxing, they're wearing helmets, right? They are allowed to wear helmets. And I see very few of them get knocked out, really knocked out. But in the professional boxing arena where they don't wear helmets, I see a lot of them getting much more damage incurred upon them. It's good to have a helmet. And our helmet is our hope, the hope that this day brings us and this means for us. So in the final analysis, if we look at our whereabouts in the year 2004, we can see that this hope has never changed. It's a hope that is part of the gospel. It's a hope of salvation. It's the hope that was there from the very beginning. Mercy, love, and hope, because they're perfections from God. God gave it to us. It's a gift. This day of hope. It's indeed a day of hope. It was designed as a day of hope from the foundation of the world by the mercy of our Father. So finally, let's turn to 1 John, and I'd just like to read the final words about this day of hope in 1 John as a conclusion. But 1 John 3 talks about this day in the first three verses. "Behold, what manner of love," hope and love, you know, they're part of the same, they come from the same source. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure.